look at Proverbs 27:17 together. And it's just two lines that God gives us written probably through the hands of Solomon, we think. And it's contained in a lot of other short sayings all through the book of Proverbs. In fact, when you look at Proverbs, you understand that it's a bunch of wisdom statements. But when you look at the word proverb, it actually means to be like something. And so we understand from Scripture, from Old Testament, as this passage is in, all the way to the New Testament, we know that we're commanded to be like Jesus. And as we think about the life that we're living right now, God only gives us one life. He only gives us one opportunity to live this life. And there are no instruction books for life. You don't get to take a training seminar. You don't take a test and get your license to live life. God allows you through the blessing to be born into this world. And then you have this one life to live to make a difference, to leave behind something that honors Him and honors who He has planned you to be. I believe that God has a plan in all of that. I don't think it's by happenstance that all of you guys are here. I don't think it's by happenstance that we were all born during this time and in the difficult year and months that we've had. God knew before the beginning of the world that we were all going to be in this world at this moment. And as bad as things sometimes seem and as divided as the world can be, God still has purpose and intent for our lives. And it's up to us to decide how we're going to make a difference in the world around us. What are they going to say about us? What are the things that are most important about us? Football is important, and I told you guys this yesterday. Many of the men who were here last night, and I am so glad that our men came out to help last night, and I thought it was a success. You guys had fun last night, played Gaga ball, I heard. Okay, good. Well, those men, many of them played football for Hueytown High School. Believe it or not, I played for another school, and I did. I'm short, I'm small, but I did get to play a little bit. And when we look about that life of playing football, and even whatever team sport we might have played, it's not whether we won games or whether we lost games that are important when you get my age. It's about the relationships. It's about the life that someone came along and lived beside you and taught you something about life, about how to be a man, how to be an adult that takes responsibility and uses well the opportunity that God has given every one of us to live a life that's worth something. So when we look in this Proverbs this morning, I want us to kind of think about that and understand that as it tells us, and I'm just going to read it. I know some of us may have phones and Bibles and you can turn to it, but it's on the screens. It's so short, you can follow along. It says this, and it's probably a verse that we all have heard at different times in our life. Says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend, or a coach sharpens a player, or a parent sharpens a son or a daughter, or a grandparent sharpens a grandchild, or a friend sharpens a fellow friend, or a brother sharpens another brother, or a player sharpens another player. Listen, you can put whatever you want in that friend sharpens friend, but it applies to all of us. Our life means something when we can come along and begin to be used in a way to be sharpened ourselves, but also for God to use us to sharpen other people. So it's not about the iron. It's not about the sharpen. And I know we can get into all of those details, but really we need to stay on the surface and look at it at face value. Who's influencing us and who are we influencing? And that's what I want us to look at this morning for just a few minutes. This is very simple. We're going to look at three ways that God uses others to sharpen us. Now, boys, I want you to think about the life that you're living right now and the people that God has put around you. It's not by accident that you have the coaches and the staff and the teachers and the people that God has placed in your life for you to be able to be equipped, trained, and prepared for what God has on the horizon. And that not only applies to you guys, but it applies to every one of us who's breathing and has blood in our body. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this verse and what it means to us and the power of the message that it represents. Help us as we dive into it for just a few minutes to not be distracted, but to be able, God, to keep our focus on what it is that you've brought us here today to learn, to be changed by your word. And I pray if anyone in here right now or who may be watching this at home have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray right now that you would give them the eyes to see all of the different people that you've put in their life to guide them and draw them towards you. Every one of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior can testify about all of the abundance of people that you've used to move us along to that point to we surrender to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we pray this morning as they think about that and all of the people that have said things and done things for them who have loved them unconditionally with the love of Christ, that it would lead us this morning to finally surrender and I believe complete the plan that God has given every one of us by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For the believer who has made that decision, my prayer this morning is that you would challenge them with these verses for us to begin to ask the question, what are we doing for the Lord? How are we sharpening those around us? What kind of legacy are we building with the people that you put in our life? And that we can do those things in a way, God, that honors you and nobody else. Because all that matters in the end is where we stand with you. So Father, we pray this morning that you would guide us as we do that. Bless us as we open your word together. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Now the first one of these three, and you'll see these on the screen, guys. The first one is this. God uses people to sharpen us through relationships. Listen, I've already spoke to this a little bit. But in my age now, I look back at all the different chapters in my life, and it's not always about what I produced or what I was able to accomplish. It was about the relationships with people, and in some cases at the time, I didn't even understand the importance of that relationship and how God may use that in my life down the road. The experiences that we go through at the beginning of a football season like this, the ups and downs of a season like this, God's going to use that through the relationships between each of you and the relationships that you have with God's messengers that he sent into your life for a reason. And as we begin to think about those relationships, I was always taught this. There's a reason God brings someone into your life. They're either going to do something to shape you, or God's going to use you to shape them. Iron sharpens iron. And when we begin to think about those opportunities, we need to look at friendships and relationships in the manner of which, how is God going to use that? And what is my part? How am I going to be vulnerable enough and teachable enough to let God use that person to pass on to me? And I'm going to tell you, in my experience, it's not always the most godly person that God uses to shape and change you. Sometimes through the mistakes of our moms and dads, through the mistakes of family, and through the terrible things that sometimes happens in life, God will use even those things to shape and change you into the image that he wants you to have. I believe God, before you were born, had a blueprint for your life. And that blueprint is something that is a master plan. And everything that you do in life, the decisions that you make, the choices that are given to you, the things that happen in your life are all part of God shaping you and forming you to be able to meet the blueprint. But listen to this. Nothing will ever mess that blueprint up. You can never get to a point and say, well, God, I've messed it up so much. There's no hope for me. What are you saying about God when you say that? God is bigger than any of the things that we may face or even the mistakes that we may make. God is bigger than those. And through Jesus, we are promised forgiveness. It's not just lip service. We are guaranteed that forgiveness when we accept it. And so God uses relationships. He used them on a daily basis. And as you walk into school, I think y'all start back to school this week, you have a sea of faces in which God has given you the opportunity to begin to impact and shape and be iron that sharpens iron. But at the same time, God puts people in your life to sharpen you. And so we have to understand sort of that ebb and flow and how God works all of that out. He is sovereign and on his throne, and as powerful as he is, he works all those things out for his good. Everything that we face is an opportunity. And God puts those people around us. Like I said, sometimes godly people themselves, sometimes not godly people, but God still puts them in our life to teach us something about him and how we can be who God has blueprinted us to be. The other one is this, and I don't want to prolong these, but the second one is this, and this is the word love, and I've just used a one word on all of my points this morning, but love is the theme, the definition, the sum total of all of Scripture. If you read the Old Testament, New Testament, what you come away with is this, love. And it's about God's love for you. It's about his love for what he has created in this world. And it's about the love that he sends through people in your life. There is nothing greater than the unapologetic, unconditional love that God gives us through individuals in our lives. Nobody loves you more than God. Now, your mama and your dad do love you. Don't make any mistake about that. But that is a love that is given to them, I believe, through the creation of that role as a mom and dad. So we experience love through our parents, but we also experience love through individuals. This is a love that's action, by the way. It's not just a word that we throw out. Genuine love, the Christ love, is a self-sacrificing love. Many of the teachers, coaches, people in your life have sacrificed for you to be able to have the privilege, the opportunity to do what you do. And even going forward, the things that you'll be able to accomplish in this life is because people have built ladders before you for you to be able to climb up and succeed in things that maybe they themselves would never have been able to succeed. That's love. Love is being able to forgive those who may hate you or who may do things against you, but you love them enough to forgive them and move on from that. Love is the definition that God, that makes up who God is. And we understand that the ultimate example of that is Jesus coming to this earth. And I believe he came, he lived among those who lived in that day. He breathed air and his blood flowed just like yours and mine. And he came so that we could have life. And that we could have life abundantly, as it tells us. And I believe this, and our folks here know I say this almost every chance I get in a sermon. There's only one way to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God or the Father, as we might say, outside of Jesus. And the greatest decision we can make in life is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it's not a complicated thing. It's a free gift that God gives us. It's not something that we have to work or earn or be able to score enough points to be able to benefit from. Jesus has died for us to forgive us of our sins, and it's like a free gift wrapped under a Christmas tree on Christmas morning. All you got to do is grab it and claim it as your own. But love is a major way that God sharpens us. It's a major way that God uses other people in our lives. Now, I'm not naive. Sometimes people in our lives that want to take things away from us, that want to hurt us, want to do things to destroy us, to build themselves up. Listen, all of that is just background. In those situations, what we got to do is focus on what matters. And that's what God's plan is for us. Not falling into the roadblocks or the potholes or the distractions that sometimes come in life, in the lives of young people. It's about keeping our eyes focused on what God has given us to focus on. And there's no question what that is. That's his plan for you. It's his purpose for you. And one day you guys are going to be my age. And you're going to look back at these opportunities that you have. And those things are going to be another chapter in your life. And now it's about who you are and what you do and how those things have been used to build you up into what God wants you to be. But you know what? God doesn't force any of that on us. It's a decision that we make, I believe, every single morning. Every one of us as adults, men, some of our women, all of them, even you, every morning have to wake up and make the choice of whether or not we're going to follow what God has for us, fulfill that blueprint, if you will, that he's given to us. And even when we mess up, looking for those detours that'll get us back on God's plan. Because there's nothing, as I've said, that will take us off of God's plan so far that now God's plan is thrown out the window and there's no way he can succeed. He always has a way for us to be able to get back on that path. Third word is this. We've said relationship is how God sharpens us. Relationships through other people. Love, God's love seen in other people. Number three is this. And this is a strange one, I realize, but I couldn't think of a better word to use, and that's deposits. People deposit things into bank accounts and piggy banks. I have two daughters who are grown now, and they had piggy banks, right? And at any given day, we might come home and have change in our pocket and drop it in that jar. And that in and of itself really wasn't much. It's usually a few pennies and coins. In the crazy world we live in today, we don't have a lot of coins anymore. But you would come home and you'd empty your pockets and put it in. And on any given day, it wasn't that much. But after a period of time, it accumulated. That jar began to fill up and got bigger and more and more. And finally, one day, we decided to empty it all out, take it to the bank, and let them count it, by the way. I wasn't going to count it myself, but let their machine count that thing. And they had well over $100 or more. And all that was just little bits of coin being thrown in each day. Listen, when we think about deposits, people are depositing things in your life every single day. God is using people to deposit things in your life. And while they're small on any given day, over a period of time, they accumulate into something that matters. You are depositing things in people's lives. God's given us the ability to do that. And the question is, not only what are we letting people deposit into our life is important, but what we're depositing in people around us, their lives. What are we leaving for them? What are we giving them that will matter? Listen, if we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then what we're giving them is the grace of God in little bits. Through love, through actions, through praying for them, encouraging them, holding them accountable. All of the things that come sometimes with being a brother or sister in Christ. But deposits. And when you get to be older, you'll look back and see where people have made deposits in your life. And how that mattered and how that was used to shape you. And before you realize it, and as I told you all yesterday, these men and our whole congregation, many of them grew up in Hueytown, went to Hueytown High School. You guys are part of this community. You not only represent yourselves and your team and your school, but you have a whole community, many of which are believers, who you represent, and they love you because you're part of that community. And as you go on with life and make decisions and decide what your outcome's going to be through God's plan for your life, then you'll look back and you'll see the impact that a community had on you making deposits in your life. Listen, all of this, we could go on and on. And I'm not going to belabor it. I'm going to lead us into prayer, but I also want to give opportunity. If anybody needs to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer here in a moment. And it's a simple prayer, and it's not anything that's meant to embarrass anyone. It's just meant to give you an opportunity. We believe every time we gather together like this and listen to God's word, worship together, that we need to give opportunity for people to make decisions because it's not about us, it's about God and what he may lead us to do. And as I said in my opening prayer this morning, there are some who probably in this room, maybe even be watching on our live stream, who God has been putting people in their life to sharpen them. And up until this point, they've been resistant to it. They've not seen it. They've not connected the dots. They've sort of bowled up and said, well, I'm not going to do that. And then God slowly has sort of melted away those obstacles and whatever those things that we've put up to defend against that. And now we come to that point to where now, maybe today, we're finally vulnerable to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we're going to do that. We're going to pray here in a moment. And then we in our church have an invitation. That's not made to make anybody feel uncomfortable. We just all stand, we play music, and we quietly allow folks to come forward if they want to make a decision. Or just pray at the altar. That's what we do. That's our church tradition. So we're going to do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that as we move into this time of commitment, if any of these boys or anyone here, or maybe even watching on our live stream, have never truly surrendered to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, our prayer this morning, Father, through the looking at your word and the preaching of your word and really the presence of your Holy Spirit. It's not about me or Andrew or anyone else in here. It's about you and what your spirit is doing. And maybe, Father, you're bringing to that point this morning to finally surrender their life to Jesus Christ. And again, it's not a ritual. It's not a magic spell that we're asking for. We're just simply coming to you and we're saying this, Father, praying this in our heart to you, saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And we all have sinned. We've made mistakes, every one of us. But I come this morning surrendering to you, saying, God, that I have made mistakes. I'm a sinner. And I am in need of Jesus in my life. And so this morning, Father, I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, to make me new. And now I want Jesus to be my Savior. Father, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, then what we believe, if it's genuine, then you've just accepted Christ. Now, Father, I pray that as we now move into this time of invitation, whatever decisions need to be made, somebody's accepted Christ and we believe they are ready to make that public or want to talk more about that, then we have folks here that would be more than willing to help out in that. And we're not here to do something uncomfortable or to make people feel uncomfortable. We're not here, Father, to get score points on anything. We're just simply wanting to be obedient to you. So now we move into the time of commitment. This, I believe, is the most important time of our service. It's our time to respond to you. Whether someone wants just to come and kneel at the altar and pray, if there's a decision maybe to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and you're leading them to make that public, or maybe they are ready to rededicate their life. They've not been the friend, the iron sharpening other people as they need to be. So this morning you've convicted them to get that right with you. Whatever decisions need to be made, Father, we want to give opportunity for those to be made public. Now, if someone's not willing to do that this morning, not ready to do that, and they've prayed that prayer, then I want to challenge them when service is over, maybe, to tell one of us or to go tell their own pastor or to go home and tell maybe a Christian friend or a Christian parent that they've prayed this prayer to accept Christ. It's important that they tell somebody so that God can begin to use people in their life that are believers to nurture and coach them along. Father, we give this time to you. This is about you, not about us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would everybody